can be dismissed to Children's Bible Hour. And the song before the lesson is number 102, In Vain and High and Holy Lays. Let's all stand, please. In vain and high and holy lays my whole her grateful voice would raise, for who can sing no worthy praise of the wonderful love of Jesus? Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. All joy by day, a peace by night, in storms a calm, in darkness light, in pain a balm, in weakness might, is the wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. My hope for pardon when I call, my trust for lifting when I fall, in life, in death, my all, in all is a wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Please be seated.
Diagnostic technician over there. I'm going to mess up the mic for whoever's next. That's okay, I don't mind. Is it on? Is it on now? It's on now? No, it's this one. It's okay. I'll just take this one off and we won't have to worry about it. And we'll pretend like I haven't walked up here yet. It's okay. You know, technology is a wonderful thing. Occasionally it works. All right. Well, at least you know the story now. Brett said I could come up whenever I want, and I'm here. And now you're stuck for a little while. Some of you I haven't seen for a while, and it's good to have you back, have you here for the new year. This is our first Sunday of worship at the Eugene Church. And it's good to see everybody here who can be here. As we get started, let's just go ahead and have a prayer to make things right. We thank you, Lord God, for the new year and for the opportunities that brings. We pray, Father, that you will bless us as a congregation, give us the things that we need, the courage that we need, and the life that we need, Father, among us, to do what you need us to do here, to reach out into the community. Our prayer also, Father, is that as we open the scriptures and talk about the things of the church, that you will bless the words that I have this morning. And if I say anything wrong, fix that before it comes out of my mouth, if you would. Thank you so much, Lord God, for all that you do and all that you have done. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen. If you're a guest here this morning, you'll need to know that I'm not the regular preacher. That's very important. My name is Mike Duffield, and I serve as one of four elders for the congregation. Our minister, Calvin Gruen, and Alicia are off visiting grandchildren and perhaps even their own children. We don't know about that. If you're a regular attendee here, you'll know that the first Sunday of every new year, for several years, has been a time and an opportunity to review what's been going on for the last year. And then at the end of that, I will have a short lesson. And that's what we're going to do today. Let's take a look at what happened. Whenever you do a year in review, it's incomplete, and you'll see that. What I did was listed everything I could find on the calendar. And if you can't read that, that's okay. It's very small. And unfortunately, it's also very incomplete. As much as there is on there, it doesn't reflect all that took place this last year at the church. And that can be good or bad. No comment on that. But I can tell you that beyond these things that are listed, we had at least 9 baptisms that I'm aware of. There may have been more, which is good, because I recall in the years earlier that was not the case. So it was a very good year for baptisms. Small groups that met, I counted 13, but that doesn't include all of those groups that met informally, maybe at somebody's house, maybe one-on-one, maybe those kind of Bible studies that took place. They're just not part of the count because they don't show up in my calendar. You know, I don't have a list of all of those things. So what, as a congregation, we did last year is always going to be incomplete, especially in a giant list like this. Now, the overriding things that we all remember, we spent years praying for Thomas Pruitt. And at the end of the year, he was able to get a new heart. What a blessing for him. He sounds like he's doing very well with that. But these are the wonderful things that happen when groups continue to pray for people and for situations like this. Many of the people in the congregation had surgeries, difficult times. Prayers were offered for those things. Many among the congregation also were healed. We had a couple of, I would consider, very miraculous healings take place. Wonderful to see God working like that. We lost some family members this year. That is something that is going to always happen. And we've had other families that moved on for various reasons. Those things also will happen over time. But on the other side, we've had other groups and families, individuals and families, joined us this year. So we see that there is a constant moving, that God is working with people and bringing them and taking them different places and directions as they need to go. The list also doesn't include something else. Those things that we consider very vital and important for the church, and that is the visitations that took place. Several of you make it a point to go out and visit others. Those things don't show up on a calendar that I have access to. They show up on your calendar, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And so we don't know about that, but that is a gift for the congregation. All the visitations take place. It's wonderful to know about those things or find out about them afterwards and to see that that's part of what's going on. The overall observation I want to make is this. This last year, it seemed like a lot of people were very involved in the work of the congregation. And I think what we're seeing is God working in people's hearts and minds and bringing them to things and working with them and encouraging them to show up. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, the big thing that took place between April and the end of October for us was something that, as long as I have been here, we've never done before. And that was our fundraiser. We had a deadline to get a certain amount of funds to replace two things, the falling apart portico supports in there and then the roof over the auditorium. This was for insurance purposes. And we had what I would consider a lofty goal, $160,000. And we actually exceeded that goal in the course of time. What that shows me is that you want the congregation to continue for many years to come. And that was an incredible blessing, an incredible encouragement. You can tell, I think this is the first Sunday that the roof has been done. It's complete. So no leaks. This is good. It's a good thing. So let me just delve into the fundraising a little bit, because it wasn't entirely for those two special events. We had dedicated 20% of our funds to missions. And that means that we're going to be, in the course of this year, sending out over $32,000 to missions abroad as well as missions here. That's a wonderful thing for a congregation of this size to be able to do that. You guys have done a fantastic job getting there. And if you were wanting to applaud yourselves, I wouldn't be surprised. It would be a great thing because you have done a very good job. As you know, we had some issues in 2025 with our sound system, right? It seemed as though the sound system knew it was going to be replaced in parts and it would start falling apart. And so we've done that. We've done the process of fixing a few things, and you can tell there's a couple of things that need to be tweaked and fine-tuned. But we're working on them. The other thing that we're looking forward to doing with the funds that we raised, or with the portion of the funds that we raised, is to have a live streaming process for our worship. And that means that we need to purchase a couple of special cameras and then the software that allows us to do that so that people, family members or whosoever is interested, can have access to worship at the Eugene Church online. And that's going to happen. We're in the process of doing that right now. And we also potentially are looking at replacing the projection system with two screens that would be up front. And the benefit or the possible advantage for that would be in a better sharpness of the image that you would see and a brighter image overall. All things which will contribute, I think, to comprehension of what we show up on the screens and what sees up there. So these are all the things that are going on and kind of the results of all that took place over 2025. It has been quite a year, and we have been blessed. Now, just so you know, this is not what the elders did. This is not anything that we got together and said, we're going to do all these things this year. This is what you agreed to do. You are the ones that made this happen. Others had ideas. We brought them all together. We presented them. But you made it happen. And I think that's wonderful. And I think that the Lord is continuing to work with this congregation. Now, this has all been stuff that has to do with what's taking place here in the congregation. And I don't want to neglect what takes place outside because I think it's foolish at times to do that. There's a reality that we have to face. 2025, outside of the congregation, outside of the church, was a very, in my mind, chaotic year. And I would liken it to Mr. Toad's wild ride. Here's my rendition of what happened this year in visual form, okay? Oftentimes, I found myself asking, what is going on today? Why was that? Why were things like this? But I realized as I was preparing this lesson that I don't always understand the chaos of the world. And I probably shouldn't understand too much of it. But the scriptures do paint a picture that helps us understand what is going on. Let's turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. It's always the place to start. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Before the Creator steps onto the earth, it is without form, it's waste, it's void, it's chaotic. There's no order. It takes God to bring order. So when the world seems chaotic to me, and I'm guessing it does to some degree to you, we shouldn't be surprised. When we neglect God, when God isn't part of the story, what happens could adequately be described as chaos. Things fall back into that, oddly enough, natural state of disorder. So what is it we should be doing to bring as much order as we can to the world, to the situation that we have today? I call it apocalyptic love. It's a little cutesy phrase, but I want to explain it to you. Now, I'm not going to be talking about this kind of apocalypse. That is the modern understanding of apocalypse. That is an event that takes place at the end of the world. But having said that, that's not what the Bible says. An apocalypse, according to the Bible, is an uncovering. It shows that which was hidden, often translated as revealed or revelation. And there are some scriptures that talk about that. What we're looking at here, when we look at what an apocalypse is, it's a word transliterated from Greek, and Jesus often uses it to describe those things that were hidden but have been made clear to us through him. Okay? An apocalypse is about making something clear that was previously hidden, and it describes more than just the end of the world. Now, the place you almost always turn to understand this is the book of Revelation. Right? Isn't that the place to go? Right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. The word revelation in the book of Revelation is apocalyptos. That's the word we're looking at. It's an uncovering, it's a revealing, in this case, taking place from Jesus through an angel to John. And so we find that this revelation is actually from Jesus himself. Paul understands this. The word is used again by Paul. For I would have you, in Galatians 1, I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, but I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation, an apocalypse of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal to Apocalypse his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. In other words, Paul received a revelation from Jesus that made him who he would be and got him prepared. Peter is not going to get out of the picture, and there are so many other passages we could look at, but just a couple that I thought were good ones that were fun to look at. Peter, 1 Peter 1:13, 16, therefore preparing your minds for action, he's writing a letter to the general church, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, something that was going to happen to them. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In other words, he too is saying, you will receive at the revelation, the revealing of Jesus to you. So it was an apocalypse, same word, showing up there. There's one other passage I want to read. It's a good, fun passage. Luke doesn't want to get out of the picture. He's going to bring in an apocalypse as well. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 29. And I need to get a little drink here. Lord, this is Simeon after receiving the child Jesus. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for apocalyptos to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. God once again is revealing something to the people, and Simeon is singing a song of praise and blessing that they may receive that revelation as well. What a great thing. So this apocalypse that I'm talking about, an apocalyptic love, is a revealing, an uncovering, a making known. So let's figure out what this love part of it is. Now, in the years before the New Testament writings and before Jesus, the word used most often in ancient writings to discuss love was phileo, which means affection or friendship. It doesn't appear very often in other ancient writings, and only a few times in the Old Testament. In other ancient writings and in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word changes. The Jesus movement redefined the obscure words agape, love, and agapeo, to love, to mean indiscriminate generosity, care, and kindness, even toward enemies. The Apostle John declares that God is love, grounding Christian identity in God's unique, self-giving love revealed through Jesus, and he encourages the church to embody that same self-giving, indiscriminate, generous love in how they relate to one another. Jesus' coming changes what it means to understand what love is. What Jesus reveals in apocalyptic love is a love that is as God wanted it defined for us all, as God wanted us to live it out. It is love revealed to us through Jesus and his teachings and as he lived it out with his disciples while he was here. He, in effect, exhibited apocalyptic agapeo. Jesus' best-known lesson on love, of course, comes from Matthew 5 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. The poor are given the kingdom. Mourners are comforted. The hungry are fed. These are all acts of love that God intended that we do and that Jesus tells us about doing. In Jesus' teachings, we find that the chaos of the world is turned topsy-turvy and instead is conformed to the will of God, if we understand what he means. And he makes it clear. I like this passage best, Matthew 22. It's an interesting passage. After Jesus is confronted by the Sadducees who are trying to catch him up, he knocks them down. But then what happens? Matthew 22. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Always an ominous sign. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Very concise, very exact. No questions you can have about that. But look at what Jesus has done. First of all, if you've ever dealt with a lawyer before, when a lawyer asks you a question, they already know the answer. Okay? Just recognize that. They're not really asking you a question. They're asking to see as a test if you're going to answer them the way they know you should answer. That's what we see here. A lawyer. So, the lawyer is testing Jesus, but you'll notice what Jesus does. Jesus always goes above and beyond. He gives him Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, but then he adds on Leviticus 19:18. Jesus ties these two commandments together in verse 40. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets. Remember, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, Deuteronomy 6. Second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19:18. He ties these together. He doesn't allow the lawyer to have the answer he wanted. The lawyer wanted an answer for his mind. Jesus provides an answer for his mind and his whole being. In other words, the relationship vertically is this, and the relationship horizontally has to be this, because these two commandments are tied together. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. They are inexorably tied. Everything is tied to this. You don't do the vertical right, that's one thing. You do the vertical right and you don't do the horizontal, you've still broken the commandments. God, through Jesus, is making this very, very clear. It is the mic drop moment for Jesus. We cannot act like we love God if we don't love each other. John's understanding of this is very clear in 1 John. Great passage, and I'd like to read the whole thing just because it's such a good passage. John writes to the churches, and he says this, "Beloved, let us agapeo one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is agapeo. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that he might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love perfected with us, so that we may have, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Every use of the word love there is agapeo. It's the full and deep meaning of what it is. So what is the apocalyptic agapeo that Jesus has revealed? Jesus says we ought to love God and love each other. That is what is missing in the world. It's not a merely intellectual thing. It's in who we are. Remember that Genesis tells us we are the image of God. Jesus reveals this was God's desire all along. It's not a new message, but it's a message that has taken a long time for us to understand. Peter writes in the lesson to the Galatians church, Galatians 5, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." So many things hinge on our understanding of love. Apocalyptic love is a God-breathed love that reaches beyond ourselves and comes from God through Jesus by the Spirit into the Scriptures and into us. This is the love that we as images of God are to exhibit in the chaotic world that has turned away from him. This new year, as we leave our time of worship, I hope you feel a little bit lighter in heart. We're invited to exhibit apocalyptic love amid chaos, not to be separated from it, but to see it as it is and to bring hope into hopelessness. The Bible comes to us as meditation literature. It contains the story in narrative form. It contains history, poetry, prophecy. We're told about dreams, journeys, troubles on journeys. We learn about good and bad, right and wrong. We hear prayers for release, prayers to praise God in the highest, confessions of sin, and pleas for forgiveness. We're shown sinners and people after God's own heart, all in the same book. In the Old Testament especially, these stories teach us about God's will for us and about ourselves. In the New Testament, we see God's redemption through Jesus, his Son, and we learn about the struggles of the early church, the ancient church, to become the truly redeemed people of God in their time. They struggled to be the church. Some failed. Some led others to become better. To understand what this means, we're invited to meditate on these words. The Bible is a tightly woven narrative connected from beginning to end and leading to Jesus, whose desire is that we become the people, we act out the people that we are, people in his image. As we look at the Bible, it's very possible to keep it on the surface level and to see a little. But the invitation that we have is to meditate on scriptures and to let them become deeper in our lives and to infect us in a good way, so that we can become closer and closer to the image of God daily. It's a very difficult thing to do. His desire is that we become whole, that we become complete as he is complete. That's what he's really wanting us to do. And we can do that by understanding and living out this apocalyptic love idea. And it seems to me that having talked about love so much, that we should appropriately look over the scripture that we're memorizing. Do you remember this? Have you looked at this lately? Let's go ahead and say this out loud. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Agapeo love. And it can be apocalyptic agapeo love if you want to make it that in your life. We are the images of God, and we ought to reflect all that we encounter. Mr. Toad's wild ride is the way of the world. We shouldn't be surprised by that, but I think sometimes we are. Bringing love to the people we meet and interact with is introducing God and order into the chaos. We all have an opportunity to do that. Jim, if you'd come up, we're going to have a song in a second. We've touched on many things today. We've had an opportunity to pray together. We've broken bread, taken fruit of the vine, celebrated Jesus as our Redeemer. We praise God in song, and the scriptures have been opened and thoughts have been shared. My prayers for you today are that you've been blessed as we've worshiped today. If you would like prayers, if you would like, I shouldn't have done that, but that's okay. If you would like to know more about baptism, I'd like to invite you to come over to Calvin's Corner over here. This morning, and I can meet you there for that event. And now I'm going to hand over the handheld microphone that I messed up for Jim.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, the only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Please be seated.
Good morning. Happy 2026. It's good to see a lot of our travelers back here with us this morning. And visitors, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to join us. If we could get you to do a few things for us, it would be appreciated. If you're visiting, if you reach to the seat back in the chair in front of you, there's a packet with a card in it. If you'd fill that out and hand it to one of the members here or leave it on the back table,